You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to chat politics with Māori Party co-leader Marama Fox.
The Māori Party has been a vocal advocate for addressing inequalities in the health system's treatment of Māori. And earlier I spoke to co-leader Marama Fox about her priorities in the area and what she would do about cannabis reform.
Well, removing the disparity for Māori in health. Actually, what the national government did is they shut down the Māori arm in the ministry and sent those Māori staff into the different relevant parts of the ministry rather than operating as a collective for Māori issues. And some people liked it and some people hated it. What certainly has been our experience when you mainstream services inside an organisation, when you mainstream staff inside an organisation, and when Labor disbanded Māori Affairs and all those services were mainstreamed back into Housing New Zealand and Ministry of Health and so on and so on, there was a decline of equitable outcomes, not an increase. So we think that all of the mainstreaming of services is rubbish, that you need kaupapa Māori models of practice that work for Māori and for others and for Pacifica. It's just a different way of doing things. It's not just for Māori, but it works for Māori. And so what we've tried to say is, you know, you've got all these health services that are out there, but if they don't have a cultural understanding or know how to speak to the people with dignity and respect, then your health services fail because people don't come to you and you don't go to them.
It sounds like you're placing blame on both sides of the spectrum, though. I mean, how are you going to achieve these Māori solutions with a coalition government, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's what we always do. We have to advocate with an independent voice to put those issues in front of the respective ministers and convince them that we're right, because the statistics tell us that we are, actually. And so what we need is someone to have some faith and some willing and some trust that these models of practice work and not be scared off by the xenophobic rhetoric of other parties who don't want any race-based funding or race-based policies. But the point is, if you target services to the group that is of highest need, and that group is predominantly Māori or Pacifica or whatever, then target the services that best suit them. It's not rocket science, and there are those that understand it, there are those who are willing to do it, and then there are those that aren't. And so constantly this has been the battle of Māori for 170 years, for the last 30 years, at least for my entire lifetime, this has constantly been our battle. But we have proven results where we do it right, and so that needs to happen. Can I just also say our smoke-free 2025 goal is real, and we know what is working, but we're getting to the sticky end of people who are still smoking for various reasons who don't want to. When I talk to those people who are still smoking and say to them, why are you smoking or why have you taken it up again after so many years of not, they all tell me the same thing. It is about the stress in their lives and looking for something to relieve that stress, and nicotine certainly does that. We would like to see the steps towards the smoke-free 2025 goal upheld, a roadmap that will take us there of increasing measures over time, not just simply taxing smokers, but also to subsidise vaping, to shift New Zealand from combustible cigarettes into vaping can be done, because vaping in and of itself doesn't cause cancer or smoking-related illnesses. Yes, some vapes have nicotine in them, and you have different degrees of 2% down to zero. So those people who are transitioning, the vaping is provided through cessation coaches who also work with them about their stress and how they cope with it, then they can have decreasing amounts of nicotine down to zero. And if they do it out of habit and you're puffing on something called grape or pineapple lump and it's got no nicotine, it's just got vaping flavour, then now, you know, there is nothing wrong with that. The habit of having something in your hand, the habit of puffing on something is no longer causing you harmful cancer, causing you're not sucking that into your body, and you're not taking on all of those other things like emphysema, like COPD, like SIDS, like secondhand smoke for kids and cars, and on and on and on.
And so that's so, and that's smoking. But what about your position on cannabis? I mean, you support medicinal cannabis, is that right?
And decriminalisation. So, but people get confused between decriminalisation and illegalisation. So decriminalisation is where we're not locking people up for personal use of cannabis, but it's still illegal. But instead of getting an incarceration sentence, you might get a fine, like a speeding ticket, or you might get directed to rehabilitation services. So we think actually marijuana is not unharmful, that anyone who lives with high-use marijuana in their community sees the harm that it does, and a pathway drug to other drugs. So decriminalisation, absolutely, but I'm listening to the conversations and observing those countries that have made marijuana legal, because prohibition has not worked to stem the flow of it. But what happens now is those dealers who are in control of it are now no longer supplying marijuana to their little outlets around the town. They're only supplying pee. And so when our young people go to look for some marijuana and can't find some, they are getting pee instead offered to them. And now we are causing a whole new addiction of a very harmful drug that is linked to death, murder, domestic violence, and complete out-of-control behaviour, and people who were wonderful mothers and fathers who led businesses find themselves addicted to a drug that is out of control, where they steal from each other. And so there is a huge drug conversation to have. Decriminalisation is a step that I think we're probably a couple of years away from. You need to convince the major parties, and the country needs to be involved in the conversation.
And you talk about in your policy obliterating synthetic cannabis and other psychoactive substances. How is this going to be achieved? Is it with the same kind of hardline approach that National appear to be taking and cracking down on drug dealers? Is that how you see the way forward?
Alpha Carter was that it's the and. You outlaw synthetics. Obviously, they are harmful. And why would you have regulations around a synthetic drug but outlaw the natural drug? It makes no sense to me. You've got synthetics going into young people's systems and brains, and I would outlaw those completely, given that we've seen the deaths of young people off this stuff. At the same time, we decriminalise marijuana, and then we open the conversation about legalisation and watch very carefully and do studies about what's going on overseas where this has happened. So there are lots of good examples in country like is Portugal, who have legalised every drug there is. And immediately, the reports are that the drug use in the country has just dropped right off. Because those people who could make lots of money dealing it on the side no longer can, because it's in a regulated market and you've taken all the power out of all the drug lords, and they've gone off to other places to look for somewhere else to peddle their trade.
All right, and just quickly, can we also touch on the situation with one of your candidates, Wettex Kang? He's now been investigated by the Electoral Commission because of allegations he attached bribes to campaign messages on social media. What's the latest on that? Will you be asking him to stand down?
No, we believe that it's a beat up, that it's a practice that in Chinese cultural custom they've been doing for a long time. It's a thing, a red envelope thing attached to the website. But in fact, he himself has not.